Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark Amove TV for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back, everybody. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Garrett Weinzerl, joined as always by Kyle Ferguson, but not as always by a first-time special guest for this very podcast joining us. Lovely host of the Chili Mount Miami LAN tournament that will be going down this weekend. That's right, a Heroes of the Storm LAN tournament this Saturday in Miami, Florida. Chilrog is on the show today. How you doing, dude?
Doing good. Hey, what's up, guys? Really cool to be here. It's cool to be on this side of the music for the first time.
How's it sound coming across the crunchy Discord audio?
It's good. It's definitely cleaner on the audio on the podcast feed, but it's nice. Nice music.
Listen, Discord's doing its best. They're doing their best, and for that, we thank them. But hey, it's a exciting. Got to be an exciting week for you. It's been a while since there's been a LAN Heroes of the Storm event. You know, we're all very excited. We've grassroots esports are back and better than ever for Heroes of the Storm. We've had some really strong couple of years here for Heroes esports, but it's been a bit since we got to enjoy some Heroes esports under one roof.
Yeah, it's super exciting for me, for NLG especially. It wouldn't be possible without NLG. I've been a huge Heroes of the Storm fan for years, and the LAN event, it's super exciting for all of us. Just like come together, see everybody in person, see the faces behind the gamer tags. I'm hyped. It's going to be good.
Nice. So what's it been like coordinating an event like this?
Yeah, so it's been busy. We are lucky we had some experience in New York. We do Smash Brothers events as well. So we got to test the waters with Smash Brothers, make that be the guinea pig. And now we have a nice clean system ready for the Heroes of the Storm players. So it's been good. Definitely busy, like a lot of like little pieces here and there. But yeah.
That's awesome. That's freaking awesome. So, it's your first time on the show and, you know, we usually do this if you haven't been on the program before, like get to know you. So for folks who, you know, maybe aren't familiar with you, they're very likely to listen to this program familiar with Chili Mountain. Who is Chilrog? How did you get into running a team, a brand, and also getting into Heroes of the Storm? Where did that all come from?
Yeah, very surprising. Like, I wouldn't have expected it many years ago, like looking forward, but I guess it all started with like being a little bit disappointed, being very disappointed with what happened with HGC. I was a big player of Heroes of the Storm before that. Actually going back even further as a, like, so I'm a lawyer now. I practiced law for a few years, but as a law student, I've had a lot of time to grind Heroes of the Storm ladder. I grinded a ton, had a ton of friends playing the game. Actually played HGC Open Division and got just like slapped around by like E Kevin and like all the amazing players there. That's kind of how I started in HOTS. And then like very invested, a lot of friends, like loved being part of the community. And then when HGC went down, you know, very disappointed, we wanted to do like whatever we could just to like help out a little bit. So how that looked in the beginning was just like doing like little things, like a $50 tournament here online, maybe participating in charity events, like little events here and there like that. And then slowly we got an NGS team. We did a little bit bigger stuff more and more. And then, yeah, it's kind of how we got here.
So what is your role within the team? Like, is it kind of going out and, you know, obviously you're established now, but was it back, like going back to when you were getting up and going, like kind of like R&D and finding where the tournaments are and what tournaments are worth your time and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I would say like, I definitely wear all the hats. Like I've worn all the hats at some point, like as much. Probably not coach, like not that much, but like, figuring out like what venues make sense, what like new things to do that might make sense. You know, like CCL is definitely the most exciting thing we're part of, but there are other things like Masters Clash, like merch, like other games, maybe even just like, I would say R&D is probably the most right now, like the most involved I am right now, like seeing like what the next thing that makes sense to do is.
Gotcha.
Awesome. So moving it back a little bit, you mentioned you got super into the open division there and you were playing a lot. What do you play? What's kind of your main role? What do you get up to?
So I usually flex. Like I like the weird heroes. Like hypermobility is for sure super fun for me. So like Medivh, I love being just like annoying and like going in and portaling and just bothering people. That's like my number one thing in HOTS. I like Zeratul, Illidan, like all the funky heroes. If I have to be responsible, I could do like a Sonya or like, you know, something like maybe Gul'dan, Clear Waves, and be like a, you know, like the team player that you want, not the crazy Medivh first pick.
I mean, that's certainly my experience with you when we end up in games together. It's Medivh. And then I believe, this is a while ago now, but we went on like a 3-game spree where you ended up on that Sonya and we had to both be responsible. I was trying to play too much Mal'Ganis. It got messy.
I remember that. Yeah, we had a few crazy teammates that last game. We're like, all right, let's wind it back. We got Gazlow and 2 mages. Let's try and figure something out here.
You're hitting me. I feel attacked. You're saying, oh, when I'm responsible, I play Sonya. Do I play boring heroes, Kyle? Be honest.
Is Malfeel boring?
I've seen you in Stormling. Yeah, you play Zul. The Zul's pretty fun, right?
Yeah, I like me some Zul, some Rexxar, some Sonya. I've been on a huge Illidan kick lately, so we can have an Illidan corner later.
You know what? That's the way to define it, right? So like, what Chillrog and I here kind of agree that we want to be crazy all the time. Like our investment in crazy is full blown. Yeah. You are more of like a vacation crazy. You'll do the hard work. You'll like clear the lanes, but you want to last rights. You want to leap. Like you're maybe boring, but it's so you can have a crazy weekend.
That's probably the right thing to do too.
I thought you were just judging how I behave when I go to Key West every summer.
I mean, it plays into your lifestyle, right? Like, I want to be free. I want to play Mal'Ganis. I want to be special all the time, like 24/7. You can put that away, and that's a great attribute.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for wrapping that in a little candy coating. I appreciate it. That's very kind. So, what about gaming resume? Was HOTS your first MOBA, despite what they tried to call it?
Yeah, it was for sure a MOBA, but yeah, I was big into World of Warcraft before HOTS, like super, super big, like irresponsibly big into World of Warcraft.
Oh, I feel you there. Yeah, I got a bachelor's in Wrath of the Lich King more than I think I got my actual bachelor's.
Nice. Me as well. I was Wrath of the Lich King. I caught the tail end of Wrath of the Lich King, and then lots of hot WoW fans will disagree with me, but I enjoyed Kata and I enjoyed Mists of Pandaria. I did raiding guilds. I did a lot of raiding, a little bit of PvP, but mostly raiding.
Okay, gotcha. Were you is there a through line from your WoW roles to your heroes roles, or are you like a healer only in World of Warcraft?
It's a little different. So I did, for whatever reason, I did Frost DK. Big Arthas fan. Warcraft 3. I was super into Warcraft 3. All right,
we're friends now.
The Arthas lore. Yeah, it's the best. Arthas lore, the Illidan lore too, all of that. So I just went Death Knight in WoW.
Nice. That's good stuff.
You were a big Arthas fanboy?
Yeah, a little bit. Might be known for it. Might be known for it. Yeah, I might have the Helm of Domination sitting up at a frame.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I want to get that sword one day.
Our complaints about Arthas are well documented on this show.
Oh, yeah, when it comes to Heroes of the Storm,
feel right.
He was definitely an early main for me. I used to be Uther, Arthas, Tyrande main in the Tech Alpha.
I see the WoW lore there.
I like Warcraft. I really do. I really like me some Warcraft. But yeah, it's Arthas has seen better days in the realm of Heroes of the Storm, and I was kind of hoping we got a patch this week. I was hoping to get excited about Arthas again.
Yeah. It would be amazing if like one day he could get that true like rework. I feel like he needs like the movement. Like he's going around, he feels a little too shambly.
he is slow, which I get, like, is we've always, this is going to get nerdy. Let's dive in. To me, yeah. I think the slowness works because he's always been kind of a Darth Vader character to me. You never see Vader run, and I think it'd be weird if you see Arthas run.
Yeah, that's true.
But
like a little Vader trot, it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, I don't want to see those characters at full sprint. It would just look goofy. They're like Jason Voorhees. They're just gonna slowly come after you, and death is inevitable. But yeah, I don't know. Well, hold on, Kyle. Last week we drug Arthas as hard as possible by saying the reason he's so bad is that he's just a worse Rhaegar totem. Is Arthas better by virtue of Rhaegar's totem getting nerfed today or yesterday?
I mean, at least it doesn't have more health than Arthas now. That's probably not true. That's too deep of a cut. But it did get nerfed. You know, it did get nerfed. I haven't seen an Arthas in forever, though. Like May is the better Arthas, at least when you want to go frosty themed and all that sort of business too. So we'll see what happens. I think that. This was about Rhaegar right now and reactions to the CCO when we look at this patch. There weren't a lot of new developments in it, which is fine and is kind of interesting. There's one main new thought in here. Perhaps to talk about a little bit, one of the creepy things about the patch, you could say, is that the balance is trying to incentivize play. And they're trying to use balance to get people to play in different ways. And in some ways, like the Asmodan change, the grunts raining down the level 10 ability, Demonic Invasion, deals 50% more damage to heroes, or double damage to heroes, on their death explosion. So they're hoping Asmodans will say, I want a team fight. Oh, look at this. This feels good. And even if they don't read the patch notes, they might go, this feels right. I'm going to do it again. But on the other side, you got Probius, who they're making pick up minerals. And I didn't hear Chilrog say this, so I assume like there's a cap on the weirdness. We both enjoy being weird, but there's Probius weird.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Is Probius the line? Is
too much. Yeah, I never went into Probius. Like, I actually go to TLV once in a while, but it's tough. Like those heroes, it's a lot. How about you, Guy? Garrett, is there like a weird threshold for you?
I have these. It happens like maybe four times a year. Where I can't sleep and I want to play heroes, but I just kind of, I want to put my brain in a weird place where I can't think about whatever it is that's keeping me up. And I just slam Abathur games.
Ooh,
because
that's a good one.
It's like playing the map. To me, playing Abathur is about the most focused experience that exists within Heroes of the Storm. And I think Lost Vikings is more focused, but I just don't play them. they crossed the line for me. If I wanted to play StarCraft, I'd go play StarCraft. But Abathur is just, there's this, I get into a zone with that. Like it's weird. It reminds me of other hobbies. Like back when I used to do a lot of traditional art or like making Gundam models or painting Warhammer figures, I just get in the zone and just like everything else fades away. And I'm just like, where's my mind's going? Who am I throwing a hat on? What's going on in the corner over there? Where should I be dropping my locust? Like I get really tunnel vision playing ABBA.
Are you like a PVE ABBA mostly? You do the mines and the pushing? Are you like, are you looking for an Illidan or like what's your,
I mean,
your
jam? It depends if it's def, it's, so it's definitely quick match ABBA. And if there is an Illidan, I mean, life gives you lemons. You put a blindfold on and you make lemonade. But
perfect.
Yeah. Now, most of the time I like, oh man, this is just nothing more fun than knowing I've put far too many mines exactly where I know someone's going to stand. That makes me happy. But yeah. And by the way, folks listening at home, we're going to be doing a deep dive into the patch on next week's program. Cause we had Chilrog here scheduled and there's no universe where we're not going to talk to you right before a freaking land in Miami. So yeah, this is not going to be a patch focused episode, although we'll check in with it a few times over the course of our conversation, I'm sure.
So did you name yourself Chilrog because you were a Death Knight and then Chilly Mountain because you're a Death Knight? We've got a nice little through line here.
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
I don't have like a nice, like, I think it's more subconscious. I don't have like a nice map, but yeah, like Arthas, Blizzard, Ice Crown Citadel, like all that stuff.
Gotcha.
Very cool.
Yeah, mostly inspiration.
Okay. Speaking, you know, real quick, something that hit me. It didn't hit me until now in the middle of recording with the new patch dropping. Is there any internal panic or any of the teams going, oh, damn it, we're playing in this land this weekend and a patch just dropped?
Yeah, so I have heard some teams, they're just like a little bit nervous. It's not perfect, but from an organizing perspective, like I have the easy job at this point. Everything's set up. You know, I just go and we make sure the tournament goes smoothly. But yeah, definitely a little extra sweating for the players. It could be fun though, so we'll see. It's like a little mix.
Yeah, I'm not a player, so I can't speak from that. Like, I'm not a competitive player, so I can't speak from that. But I've always thought to myself, it's a level playing field. They all have to deal with the same changes in theory. But I'm kind of curious to see what shakeups there will be. Kyle, do you expect to see any competitive picks just kind of fall off as a result of this patch?
Yeah, just like straight up removed from the game. I don't know if Rhaegar still has it in him. Stukov's fine. If anything, like there's some cute Genji stuff. There's a healing talent for Greymane now that might get messed with, but ultimately the math doesn't really line up. There is talk in the tournament scene of a rotation denying Nova and using Nova as a ward and also just a hindrance to ever riding a mount, because there's a talent there where you get your holo decoy decreased in its cooldown by now 60%. So you basically have that thing spamming all the time on the enemy side. So you can imagine your bottom lane infernal shrines and you want to go to mid, you want to do a double rotate, but every single time anyone walks through that bush, bam Nova clone, and a little bit of damage will dismount you. That could happen and would be interesting.
So you think Nova might be a surprise pick if we're watching the Defrost land this weekend?
Yeah, like a fan favorite that actually makes sense right now because of the buff they receive. But I think Greymane has a good chance of just showing up, probably as much as Vala does. And we're not going to see too much other than just less Rhaegar.
Gotcha. So still going to see Stukov. They didn't mess with Johanna, so still going to see a lot of Johanna picks probably.
No, not even in here at all. But let's kind of dive into that here. So you're hosting an event, but am I correct looking at the roster here that Chilly Mountain isn't necessarily competing in it?
So we have kind of. We have Team Wa, we're sponsoring them. And then Make, kind of our team captain from Chilly Mountain, is going into Team Wa. He's replacing Dino because Dino had troubles with his visa.
That's right. Yeah, he had. He might not be able to get back after flying because of status and all that. That's interesting. So you're
it's in like there. half Chilly Mountain. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you got some really cool teams. Like, I love Kaldor Fan Club here representing. You got Diamond Hands, Simplicity coming down. Big Push Power, Under the Radar, the Godzillas, and Bird Dog. But all just a lot of names scattered throughout here that particularly you're going to know from. From maybe even Storm, like, oh my goodness, there's quite a few names I know in here, actually. A lot of them I see on the ladder. Going back a little bit, you mentioned that you kind of fired up NGS teams and all that and kind of started getting involved in the tournament competitive side. On Team Liquid, Chilly Mountain's first main event is listed as the Community Clash Season 1.
That's our first event on there?
Yeah, so like that's your first prize-winning event anyway.
Oh, our first prize-winning, it was like a $50 tournament. It was called the Super Cup. It might not have made the Liquipedia.
If they didn't have an event made for it, yeah, it may have not translated over there. How did the team change or evolve getting into Season 1 of the CCL? And did you pick the coach? Or how do you, like, manage from the outside while also knowing Heroes of the Storm enough to manage a team?
Yeah, it's a weird balance for me because I know enough to be dangerous, but like not enough to be like as effective as, you know, someone really top tier. So what I usually do is I sit down with somebody who's going to do a great job, like a perfect job, who can do better than me, like a coach who like coaches top level Heroes Lounge or NGS, or like a formal pro or someone like that. And together we usually sit down and we pick what makes sense and kind of like make some scenarios like, if the draft goes this way, we'll pick this. And if the draft goes that way, we'll pick that. It's kind of like, yeah, like a balance.
That makes sense. So you are well consulted before we get to the actual draft for CCL.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely the best way, because for me to assume that I can do as good of a job as someone who does this, you know, like 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day, it would just be getting the team into trouble.
Sure. No, makes perfect sense there. Yeah. And then you had some coaches here. You had Schwimpy, a very powerful coach there. But it looks like, for the most part, you've, as you mentioned, held on to Make, and they've kind of started to build the team that they wanted.
Yeah. Make has been like a very core part of the team. We actually made a very, I don't know what to call it, like talked about, like swap with 30K in the first season in order to 100% secure Make. And he's been like a core part of the team. We swapped pick number 16 for pick number 10 to make sure we get Make. So we put a high emphasis on him, and we've kept him for 3 seasons now, looking like 4.
Yeah, now you got it. Have we talked about that? The season 4 announcement happened?
Oh, wait, for CCL?
Yeah, that was this weekend. So they did the award show.
I missed and that. Then, I'm learning that right now.
Jules was on the Twitter saying that season 4 is happening. And I believe she said this year. I don't think there was a date to it yet. Actually, they do have an event here on Liquipedia listed. So let's see. Nah, no information yet. So just an announcement. But I believe they said this year sometime.
By the way, whoever is still updating Liquipedia, thank you.
Yes, Liquipedia is well managed. It's still going. I feel like I'm visiting the Turner Classic Movies of the internet here. Every time I go to Liquipedia, it feels ancient, but man, I'm real happy it works. But yeah, they've also been showing off the Wisdom Studio, which is eerily shaped like the HGC studio.
Yeah, definitely not an accident, I don't think. I haven't heard anything, but I'm hoping season 4 will get it. I know like internally they probably want to do it, but they just can't talk about it. We'll see. Hopefully we hear something good.
Yeah, they have a lot of contracts bouncing around. I know they do Rocket League and Wild Rift and Legends of Runeterra. So that studio will be busy there in Mall of America, but it's so HGC. It looks like we're seeing it with the plastic on still, the pictures they've been showing. But it's the tri-bent desk and the big array of 3 TVs behind. And yeah, you know, just put some hexagons on that stuff and we're good to go.
Yeah. And they've got so much XHGC there. They have Gilly, Dread, they have Workhorse, XHGC, McIntyre. That influence is probably trickling in.
Heck, X-Heroes. Bethany Lashes works over there now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vipey also joined the team. Yeah, it's a full-blown Heroes production over there.
Yeah, it's a hell of a group for sure. I gotta say, I think I don't know who makes the decisions on how and when they announce certain things and tease things, but I think they're doing a good job, because I was like, for a hot second, I was like a little worried. I'm like, are we doing another season? They haven't said anything, but I, the more I think about it, I think it's like they feel like the masters of under-promising and over-delivering, because it's just right around the time I start to like sweat it. It's like, oh, cool. There's confirmation of a new season. Heck yeah.
Oh, and I also forgot Nicole Duquesne from Heroes of Fitness.
Heroes of Fitness
is there as well. And she does a lot of the kind of like conversations and outreach sort of stuff there. So it's a packed house.
Yeah. It's a lot of talent. Jules as well. Like, there's so many people.
It's weird talking to Jules so much these days. I'm like an ex podcast junkie. So I'm still a podcast junkie, but all the WoW podcasts, like The Instance, Torrent Think Tank, like all of those.
I haven't talked to her in
a
really long time. Like she has too much going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so many like awesome alumni over there running things over at CCL that I'm just bring on another season. But also, I mean, again, we have esports this weekend, thanks to you and thanks to Chili Mountain and the efforts everyone going over there. So you kind of talked about what it's like to kind of manage a team. I mean, what's it like managing an event? You know, you said you kind of worked your way up here from doing like Smash Brothers events, more local to you. How'd you end up in my backyard?
So really a big part of this event is NLG Esports. They're CCL sponsor now too. So we heard they wanted to do an event, and we kind of put on events. We have the experience in New York, and we're big in the HOTS scene. We like to support HOTS. So we kind of came together. It made sense. And we just kind of started talking about it, you know, details of what it could be, what it could look like. And then this kind of eventually took form.
Gotcha. Okay. So networking pays off is what you're telling me.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like being involved in the community and talking to people.
Gotcha. So what's it been like? I'm assuming, did you visit the space in person, or was everything kind of coordinated remotely?
Yeah. So we visited in person to do kind of like, it was like a final walkthrough, maybe a month before. But besides that, a lot of it was remote. And like, I guess you asked what goes into it. The main thing is really just getting all the pieces like together before, getting all the people who need to do a job, like the information about that job, pick them, get them in place. And then when you get to the event, usually if everything's planned well, it's very chill. It's like the pre-planning. That's like the little hectic part. So hopefully it will be very chill when we get there.
I feel that. that's rad. Was there location scouting? Were you looking at multiple different venues? Like, was there a thing that made Miami more attractive?
Well, NLG being in Miami was the biggest thing. I think probably this, I always wanted to do a LAN event, but this LAN event probably would have been further out. It wouldn't have happened so quickly without like the kind of perfect partner NLG, like coming to the forefront. And then Miami's just like a fun, like location. It's just fun to have a tournament there. It's like beaches and there's like fun stuff to do, like when the players are done. So all of that just kind of was like, it just made sense to go to Miami, to go to NLG's venue.
Yeah. To toot my state's horn too, this time of year, it's not a bad place to.
Yeah.
To throw
like in
something.
New York right now, it's like 25 degrees.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. this is going to be perfect.
Yeah. It sounds a little frigid, not what I'm used to by any means. That's very cool. So if folks are going, what can they expect? What's planned out for the 2 days?
So yeah, it'll be Friday night. We'll have a dinner, like kind of just like a dinner for whoever wants to come. You can kind of just come hang out, eat, like see all your friends, people you've known online for years and never got a chance to meet. That'll be cool. Then Saturday and Sunday, it'll be mostly gameplay, like maybe like, so 10 a.m. check-in, game start at noon. Hopefully everything will wind down if it goes well, like 6-7. And then kind of just go out, hang out for a little bit. If you lost, people will go out and drink, I'm sure, and like kind of enjoy Miami. And then if you won, you probably shouldn't. And then day number two will be just more gameplay.
Good tip there on the when and when not to drink during competition.
Yeah, the last LAN event, there was a lot of people who drank a lot and didn't win. I was surprised. Struggling in the morning. I don't know if you guys follow Masters Clash at all, but at Masters Clash, I was surprised. People were out and they're having fun in Paris.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I didn't know. I didn't know it took place out in Paris. That's great. Kyle, I feel like you're always the responsible one. I feel like you're the one being like, where's Garrett on a like late hour at a BlizzCon or something.
I also love sleep, you know, so that tends to take control, but they're tournament players, you know, they're 25, you know, they bounce back. Hydration isn't an issue yet. It's all good. It's all good.
It's true. Yeah. Like some people I was like, you're going to be dead in the morning. And they're just like 10 a.m. They're good.
They got their Starbucks.
You need to warn it. Warning though, Florida coffee is awful. Granted, you know, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, so yeah, I'm a little snooty about it. But if you're gonna rely on Florida, even Starbucks, it's just different. It's awful. You gotta pre-plan if you're gonna bounce back.
Garrett, any defense, Garrett?
I make my own coffee. I'm a very recent coffee snob, so I can't speak to Starbucks tastes like Starbucks everywhere. You're a crazy person, Kyle. That's my retort.
No, it's different, man. I don't know. Maybe it's your water's gross.
I mean, our water is gross, but once you boil, it's boiling. It's steaming hot. It doesn't matter. Is this really what we're doing?
Chilrock, you said are you in New York proper, New York City?
Yeah. So okay. We're coffee snobs too.
Yeah.
You got the best water. Your bagels are out of this world.
That's what I've heard.
The bagels are amazing. They're really good.
Is that true about the water makes the bagels? The water in New York City is so good, the bagels are amazing?
Yes. That's what they say, but I don't know how that could be true.
I thought it was proven.
They keep saying it.
Yeah, I thought it was proven that that's the reason that dough-based products just seem a little bit elevated in New York. It's just something to do with the New York water.
It's like all the chlorine in there. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why it's so good.
At least it's not sulfur, which is what water smells like in Florida. So you just gotta get those filters for sure. Didn't think we were gonna throw down about coffee today, but yeah, no, I can't help you, Kyle. I haven't gone hunting for good coffee places because now I just make my own.
That's fair. Florida has plenty of decent eating establishments all the same. So,
Miami, especially.
It's a give and take. But there's also going to be a live stream of this event, right?
Yes, live stream. So it'll be twitch.tv/chilimountain. The casters now, probably should have mentioned, are Kaldor and Udall.
Hell yeah.
That'll be cool.
Badass.
Yeah. They're both flying in. So they'll be casting live. And everyone there can kind of meet them. I know there's a lot of Kaldor and Udall fans out there.
I've been watching Kaldor since the StarCraft days. Always been a big Kaldor fan.
I didn't know that, actually. That's where Kaldor came from?
Yeah, he used to cast for GSL. Cool. Was it Team League? Code A?
Yeah, so him and Wolf did Code A along with Moltrap, right? And eventually... I do feel like he did the weird events, too, because they trotted out the Tastosis for the S tiers.
I just remember Kaldor being the first supremely jacked nerd I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, you've seen his Twitter and stuff. He bikes mountains of France and now Spain. Yeah. He's nuts.
Miles and miles.
Yeah. But that's a hell of a lineup. That's a good get. That's some serious casting talent.
Yeah. That'd be exciting.
Did you just have your pick? Was it your dream team? You're just I want these two. And they said yes. And that was the end of it.
Yeah, so pretty much because we've had a lot of online tournaments. Kaldor casted our South Korea tournaments, and he casted those a lot. Udall as well, and we have a good relationship with Udall from CCL and that kind of stuff. I knew them both. I knew they'd probably want to do it, so I just kind of DM'd them, and that was it.
Nice.
That's awesome. This is what you want.
A bit anticlimactic, but yeah.
No, I mean, who's going to complain about things going smoothly? Making me want to put on an event. So yeah, I didn't say that, but I have put on events. But, they weren't too bad. They weren't too bad. I had to host one of them though. So I had the butterflies. I'm crazy. I don't know. Do you get
were
that?
Were you casting or you're on the mic?
It wasn't a game event. We were doing live podcasts, a whole day of it. And we brought in a bunch of our friends and our peers to do their shows. And we did a whole day event in Orlando. It's the before times before COVID. And it was the first thing that I've helped with a lot of events, but this is the first one that was mine, and I still had people helping and I couldn't have done it without them, but it just felt more of a reflection of me, I guess. And so it was oh dude, I had horrible butterflies the night before. I don't know. Do you get that before your events? I don't know how are you emceeing? Do you get up? Are you kind of a face at these live events, or are you behind the scenes pulling strings?
Usually I'm kind of behind the scenes. We'll have a desk, a Chili Mountain desk, and I'll be there, kind of bounce around and just chat with people. It's usually kind of what I do with these. If there's a fire, then I'll go help with that. And that's usually my involvement.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I got that. It was completely baseless. Everyone that showed up were already fans. It's about the safest audience I could have ever hoped for. Everyone was super jazzed and everything could have probably gone off the rails and everyone still would have been nice about it. But I don't know. It was just I totally hit.
I feel like it's different for everybody. What makes you nervous? The one kid could do bad at a presentation, but be cool in a test and whatever. The reverse.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's for sure. Well, that's awesome. So outside of that, I mean, just visiting Florida, are you going to do anything else while you're here? You got some fun stuff lined up?
Yeah. So I'm going to be there for at least a few days after. I know a couple players are just going to like hang out and just like go to beaches and like go check out Miami and like that stuff. So I know Maki for sure. You'd all for sure. Just like a few people and we'll go see who's around and hang out in Miami.
Good time.
So, any recommendations? Anything?
I hang out a little bit north of Miami. I don't know Miami like the back of my hand. I used to go there for like comic conventions and stuff, but I mostly just hang out in hotels. Now, if you end up in Fort Lauderdale, I got recommendations, but not Miami. Okay. Not Miami, but it's a good town to spend some time in for sure. But you're from New York too, though, so I feel like you're. I really like New York. It's like my favorite city to visit. So to me, I'm like, oh, cool. Your standards are high. You've got good stuff all around you.
Yeah. Miami's cool though, too. Like it's like cool, but it's different, which is perfect. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We were it's extremely personal. We were bouncing between on New Year's. We just stayed home this year. Didn't feel like going and dealing with downtown junk, and we're just flipping between the New York New Year's and the Miami New Year's show with Miley Cyrus, and we're like, this is night and day. One is like everyone's got three layers of clothes on, the other one looks like, well, everyone's wearing bikinis, and it's yeah, it's kind of trashy Florida versus, you know, kind of classy New York.
That Times Square New York like experience is so so bad during New Year's. If you do it one time and then never again, like a bathroom is like, they have these tricks where you have to go to the bathroom. It's like $500 or like, they like do all this stuff. The area is packed. Yeah.
I mean, the last time I went to New York, it wasn't for any event. We were just visiting and we went downtown, we went to Central Park, and on our way there, I'm like, crap, where do you go to the bathroom here? Cause they're super strict about it for obvious reasons. There's so much foot traffic in that city. But yeah, that's another part about, like, you know, putting on events and whatnot that you got to think about for sure. So
I'm a simple man. I went to New York and I did a self-directed Ghostbusters tour. So I went to the firehouse. I, you know, rode the subway. I went to, you know, the Central Park to see the restaurant, Dana Baird's apartment, you know, the important stops. The library was closed, though, when I was there. I didn't get to go inside.
The library is pretty nice. If you go back, you should check it out.
When I was a kid, I went to the National History Museum and the dinosaur section was closed for renovation. And I was a kid. That's the whole reason I was there.
Yeah, I got to go to London once and the mummy area was all under refurbishment. So the entire Egyptian exhibit messed up.
So getting back to the event, you know, obviously you're going to support your team. But you know, besides your team, who are you most looking forward to watching? Are there any picks you're excited to see?
Simplicity will be fun to watch. Cure at a LAN event, I feel like, could be really, really dangerous. That'll be cool to see. It'll be cool to see EU versus NA, you know, on the same ping. That's an exciting thing about this.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, so that NA advantage that CCL has is going to be out, so it'll be... It might be a little bit different, but we'll see. You never know.
Huh.
It is going to cause so much drama if it's like an EU blowout.
Yeah. The EU people will be so happy on Twitter. So we'll see.
Oh, goodness gracious me. That'd be cool. And then, you know, we were talking about heroes we like playing. Is there certain heroes you like seeing played at the professional level that you're like, you're looking forward to seeing a little bit of this weekend?
Yeah, so Tracer, I feel like those hyper carries, you know, Tracer, Zeratul, maybe, who else? Even Vala, stuff like that. That'll be cool to see in person. It'll be a little bit different. We'll see. We'll see how they come out. They did just nerf Tracer, so hopefully she still makes it, because she's exciting in a LAN environment. We'll see. We'll see if they play her.
Yeah, the Tracer nerf's really interesting. So they directly attacked Pulse Generator, the one where she heals after she places a bomb on somebody and gets a dash. And I mean, it's kind of like Leoric. We have many heroes like this. You know, can you land a Leoric hand? No. Well, then just don't play Leoric. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? And Tracer is very much the same way. Anytime I see a Tracer go in, and I see a lot of Tracer because I play with Mockery, get a bomb on somebody, I'm like, bombs! Like, yeah, here we go. No health moves at all. And Tracer players don't react. They don't care. This is normal to them. But to me, it's like, I landed a bomb. It was impossible. The stars aligned and you didn't reward me with an instant kill.
It does feel weird. It feels like the bomb should do a ton of damage. I feel like it did originally.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get it. go at the same time. But did they like over time, like tweak it and change it to where we had this weird, like, sustained damage bomb?
I think so. Basically, in general, this is no shade to any developers, because yeah, I understand content creation. Like, you know, people are like, hey, did you see this Twitch channel? I'm like, no, I was live. Like, I don't watch a lot of live streams because I produce. So developers are developing. You're not always playing the game. So I think what happened originally was they were making Tracer and they said, man, these bombs are hard to hit. And when I hit one, I wanted to feel great. So let's do it. And then amazing Tracers are like, this is easy. I can hit the bomb every time. And they're like, whoa, that wasn't part of the plan. Stop this. All right, let's nerf it down.
I think Tracer is lethal enough without, you know, an insta-kill. Her cleanup potential is so absurd that if she also had like a 100-0 burst potential, I might have a hero I hate more than Junkrat.
Fair. That's fair.
But Chirog, did you see the Genji changes? Or you like the hypermobility, so I don't know if you like Genji.
I did. I liked Genji a lot. And then they nerfed him like 30 times in a row back in like 2018. So I got off of him. But if Genji's back, I might start doing that again. I was like the Divine Shield Dragon Blade, like that time I was into him.
Oh, okay, God. So double support. Yeah,
that's classic.
They're giving you a Divine Shield. Yep.
We got to play the test Genji. We got invited out to an event because that was part of 2.0. And people were doing that while testing. That was like the first thing people started doing, like getting Uther, Divine Shield that Genji.
That combo is awesome.
It was disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah.
So to sell that y'all's direction, Genji got two improvements to his level one talents, one which gives him stealth and one which gives him his first CC, a 30% slow.
How long? 4 seconds on the stealth if you go Pathfinder.
So Agile Dismount is the one where you get on your mount and you can jump further. Now, if you land basically on top of someone or one Genji's worth away, you do a 30% slow for 2 seconds. Two Genjis away, you're not going to get it. So it's a small area, but still you can kind of bomb yourself in there, deflect and be slowing people by 30%. And the other choice is you jump over terrain, you get stealth for 4 seconds and 25% movement speed. But I think this is actually probably one of the first, since we've seen the changeover of design, one of the really good examples of OP but not broken. Like, we think it's OP, but it's not.
This feels like an identity shift a little bit for Genji, which maybe he needs because he was so hard to balance before with his identity of just being unstoppable.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, being slippery in other ways that aren't necessarily just you can't touch me.
Yeah. So maybe it's good.
Yeah. So all the forts are going to have true sight as they do. So stealth, you could stealthily like jump over a tiny wall or stealthily jump over a fort, but you're not going to get the stealth from that because you can be seen. So I'm curious to see if it's going to be used more for escape, in which case, if you jumped a wall, you're already over the wall. Why be stealthy at that point?
I mean, if you got sight on someone, I mean, you could, Genjis are going to learn tricks, right? I bet 10 bucks. They're going to learn where they can jump over a wall out of sight to get the stealth and then just run in and completely surprise someone. And but it's Genji too, right? Like, it's not exactly burst. So it's not like he's going to gank like a Zeratul, but that's interesting. I mean, for the rest of us, for us mere mortals who aren't, you know, gank machines, yeah, I think this is just straight up more survivability. This is going to secure your escape, which to someone like me who stays the hell away from Genji, because I feel like that is not my place. No one wants to see me on this hero. This makes me go, okay, here's something that'll keep my death count low while I learn this hero. It's enticing. You had stealth to anyone who didn't have stealth before. People are going to raise an eyebrow.
It's a talent. You know, it's up against other things. So you have to pick it. but it's busy. I think some of the other Genji stuff is not as flashy and is all just kind of talent incentivization, but you are getting whenever Swift Strike hits an enemy, you refund a charge of the shuriken on the sharpened stars, the one that pierces everybody. So there's busy stuff like that. Like Yorella's getting a talent where, or a bacon, where when she pops her heroic ability, her insta power up comes online, her divine purpose. So you can jump in with your empowered ability, hit your heroic, which is survivable, but then transform that back into aggression.
Interesting way to look at that. Does anyone here like Malthiel? Because I'm very excited about the Malthiel changes.
I think that was the boring department. The last right, that was the
excitement. Yeah, oof. It's a little slow for me. The good Malthiels are amazing to watch. They can like 1v5 forever. It's not me.
It's a whole lot of trying to keep people at arm's length for the right amount of time, which is usually less than 4 seconds, so you can reapply your mark. But yeah, you got a base increase to the Reaper's mark damage up to a full 2% of max health, up from 1.75, which doesn't sound a whole lot like a lot, but my damage numbers in just the few games I've logged since the patch went live on Malthiel are like notably, it is so much easier for me to keep up with the big dogs damage-wise. It feels really good. So I'm excited about this one. And I guess I kind of teased it earlier. This has nothing to do with the patch, but Chilrog, you mentioned Illidan, which is my current project. I've played more Illidan in the last 2 weeks than I think I have in my entire Heroes of the Storm career. What do you like about the hero? Like, what, you mentioned him in your suite of picks.
Yeah, I would say he's one of those heroes where you can like actually 1v5 if there's like the perfect like situation, especially with an Abathur hat. It feels so good when that moment happens, even if it's like one every 5 games or 10 games. That hero is so fun. And the mobility is amazing, too.
Yeah. And I talked about, you know, Tracer's cleanup potential. It's something that Illidan definitely has. The number one thing you want as a Illidan after an Abathur on your team is to watch someone start to run away.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, I got you.
They're not hitting you anymore. And then you just slowly Illidan them down.
Yep. Yeah. It's just that moment of inevitability that feels so good. Anduin's made that a little more difficult. They got caught out against an Orphea a few times last week, thinking they were dead, and then Anduin came in and ruined everything.
I feel like over the years, there's just been more and more CC like creeping into the game. So before it was like pretty, not easy, but like more realistic. You get that 1v5 moment so often, but now it's a little harder.
I remember buddies in the tech alpha that would just main Illidan and just like, didn't take picks into concern, didn't take map into concern. And they had a pretty darn decent win rate. And they just kind of made him work in all scenarios. But you know, there's been a lot of Illidan changes since. I think for the better. I prefer his kit now. I think it's more fun. It's more flavorful. But I don't know. I don't know. I want a stacking talent to just be baseline. Like, let's free up level one and just, like, add that stacking talent. Make Unending Hatred baseline. Maybe adjust it a little bit. And free up that level one a bit.
I was always looking at that immolation to be baseline too. It feels right lore wise for the Warcraft 3 fans out there.
Yeah, maybe it is the other way around. Cause I've been going immolation more. I really like Unending Hatred, and I originally picked up Illidan to add something new to my Ken's solo lane, you know, repertoire. I love solo laning, and I've just gotten kind of bored with the heroes that I like playing. So I saw Illidan starting to, you know, by nature of not being messed with as everyone else is getting messed with, Illidan has been slowly climbing over the past year. And so this will put him on my radar. So that's why I've been playing him. And I've been going immolation more and more as I start to understand the hero. Cause you just get in those games where you're just like, no one's going to let me just stack Unending Hatred in this game. This isn't going to happen. Or you end up on 2-lane maps as well, where you're not just going to be like running between lanes, getting a lot of dings off of minions. So I've been looking at that, like, why are so many people taking this talent? I look on Hotslogs. Why is it number one picked? Why is Immolation getting 9% of the picks on Illidan?
The tradition, right? We That's all just want to see Illidan like. On fire. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's so good at just sneak in those merc camps with immolation. If you want to, who needs bribe? You got immolation on Illidan. You don't need bribe.
Are you a hunt or metamorphosis kind of guy?
I'm an all hunt all the time at the moment.
Hunt is fun. So satisfying.
There is something about just being able to capitalize on every opening you see, no matter really how far away you are. Like in most cases, obviously there's still a range to it, but you see an opening, you're just like, I want to kill that. And you can, because you can get there instantly.
So having hung out with so many tournament players now and directed them and talked with coaches and all that, is there any features that they've talked about for this game? I mean, we got the Microsoft acquisition. There's some hope on the horizon there. There's, you know, a fresh balance patch here. The classics team seems to be settling a little bit after splitting off to make their survival game. What is requested in there? Like Hearthstone tournament mode all the time. Some a heavy topic. Is there something like that people want or even you want for the game?
I would say like number one thing is we're kind of getting it a little bit through CCL, but I feel like people just want to feel like Blizzard's pushing the esports, even if it's a little. Like if like the Heroes Esports Twitter coming alive, that was cool for a lot of people. Being CCL being on the launcher, that was cool for a lot of people. Like more, what do you call it? Like involvement by Blizzard, even if it's little things, I think would go a long way with the players and with like the people who are like involved in the community. Like maybe a little sprinkling of like, I don't know, like what was big? The mounts. Remember the mounts for HEC teams?
Yeah, the hexagons, the plaques for the various teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like CCL or like CCL teams like that. Like little stuff like that. I think people would want to see like flavor.
Yeah, sprays or new banners, anything like that, just to give a little little representation to the competitive side of things. I feel like
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead and then I'll pick up.
I'm still holding out for Mannoroth too. That's a big one on my list.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, that would be a banger.
You're right. How do we not have a Pit Lord? That just...
It's like a big old Pit Lord charging down mid lane.
Is it just concerns? Like you get that, you get Deathwing and you get Azvedan on the same team and you just block the lane.
It's like a bit. Yeah, I wonder if you could body block the lane. That's a good. That's a good idea. Stitches too in there. Yeah,
Alistraza in dragon form.
Yeah. It's like a weird kind of strat. Maybe though.
Sounds like we can already get there pretty decently. So what's the problem? You know, Deathwing's not that big, right, and we got Cho'Gall around.
Kyle, next game night we just do big comp.
I like it. I like it.
What I was going to say is I feel like I do see reaction from the team in regards to competitive play in the balance patches. Now, you know, we don't get them as frequently as we used to, but we are still getting them. And there's definitely changes I look at in there. And this is something we talked. You mentioned, you know, the flurry of Genji nerfs that came in like 2017, 2018. And on this show, we used to talk about those a lot as like those are strictly competitive changes. These are changes that are being made because this is a hero that when played at the top 1% of competition excels too greatly. But then you go and you look at something like the win rate on Hotslogs and you're like, he's last place. What are we doing? Yeah. and so, you know, we were as non-competitive players really excited about the kind of shift in the balance philosophy that took place post HGC. Not that we're happy HGC is gone; it sucks. We're sad about that. But as an at-home player of the game, it was kind of cool to see a shift in the philosophy where they were no longer balancing around top level competitive play. But I think we're seeing a shift back to it. I mean, we've seen two patches now with Stukov nerfed, and Stukov's win rate is not that high in the regular game at home. If you're looking at stats from Quick Match or from Storm League, Stukov's fine. They're doing these little nips to Stukov because of just how ridiculous he can be in things like CCL, NGS, all of those.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good thing. Those like one shots that Stukov does, that just like the root combo and the perfect time, and now your team just like wins the game because Stukov had a root combo at the perfect time. I feel like they don't happen too much in like at home games. And if they do, like your Storm League team is not going to capitalize perfectly on it. So I think like these changes so far have been, I don't think they'll like you know, like ruin any Stu Cobb's mains day. I think they'll still have a similar experience, hopefully. I think when it gets to that level, like Genji was, and how, I don't know if you remember the Rag nerfs, Rag Q build got nerfed like 10 times in a row also. Those, for the Rag mains and the Genji mains, it might feel a little worse. So hopefully it doesn't get to that point again.
So I feel as similar with like Zagara.
Yeah. I know you're a big Zagara fan. Zagara was just like no good for so long.
They just gave her too much and then took even more away. It's just like, no, yeah. No, she's worse now. She's worse than when we started. What are we doing?
But, yeah. Are you still on her these days at all? Or?
God, no, no. This day is... They came for all my heroes last year. Like I'm sitting here on top of a mountain of dead heroes. Or, well, you know, they left Rexxar alone, but if I play another Rexxar game, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm a little done with them right now.
Yeah.
Poor Sonya.
I feel like, hopefully, knock on wood, I feel like Medivh's safe because he's so weird. I feel like they're scared to touch him. So hopefully they just don't. Just leave him.
Might be a little harsh, but also if the Medivhs in my games are anything to say what the skill level of an average Medivh is, I think the win rate's going to stay nice and low for you, so you won't need to worry about it.
Perfect.
I had the worst Medivh the other day. I was so salty about it.
When they're bad, they're bad. I'm like half a hypocrite. When I see Medivh on my team, I'm just like, oh, here we go. Let's see. We have a 1 in 10 chance.
There's no in between. There's no average Medivh. There's these god tiers where you're just like, how did they let this hero? Why had they build this hero? This hero, you can't do anything about it. And then there's just, you know, it looks like a sick kickflip, and then you bail at the end.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think a lot of the Medivhs are the ones running with the board but never go down. If we're using our skater analogies here, there's potential, but they don't want to land. Then you've got like the Zeratul mains who play Medivh, which are in there getting top damage maybe, but not necessarily doing anything, just hitting people. But they always use their own portal out. I mean, when I talk to NGS level players, Porky and Cavgas and all this, it's all about portal mastery. That is the bacon that needs to happen so Medivh can evolve beyond his current form. Because right now it's a required level 1. And if you don't know how to use it, you're not playing right.
I think it's just too weird. An entire ability is tied up in something that you need your team to also get value from. Like you've got these gates that can be absolutely game changing, but if your teammates aren't picking up on it, I think he's just really difficult to make work in an uncoordinated environment. So I think his mileage really varies from a coordinated competitive environment to the game at home.
Now, am I crazy, or did Overwatch League do a thing where they put out the skin of the winning team? Like, all the teams have their unique skins they compete in, because Overwatch League, you know, did the whole city kind of base thing. But when you win the tournament, that skin becomes available to the public on those heroes that they won with?
I didn't know that. That sounds cool, though.
It'd be a very cool way to the hexagons, you know, riding around on that, getting your team hexagon. It's a nice touch, but it'd be even crazier to me if, let's say, the final match of the big grand final somewhere was Kael'thas, Medivh, so-and-so, you know, three others. And those three got special colorization in the game, whether or not, you know, we're not talking like unique assets. I mean, I'm talking from an outsider, of course, like it's not a big deal. Just recolor those skins. It's fine. And I'm sure it's a big deal.
Barson in the chat room saying they do the skin of the season MVP.
Ah, the MVP. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't help you. I never really followed Overwatch closely.
It was very confusing to watch. You know, the top down coming from StarCraft was much more sane. I feel like Overwatch would have been like great for virtual reality, or, you know, kind of what Dota has, where you can go in the game and watch yourself. If I could be a little flying ball in there and kind of watch my own angles and follow my own heroes, I may have followed it closer.
Mm. I've watched it a few times at BlizzCon just because the spectacle of it it's a hell of a production, but yeah.
If I go to BlizzCon one day, hopefully we'll have another one post COVID. I definitely check out Overwatch.
That's that, but how are you feeling about that after the Microsoft merger? Because I'm looking at it. It could go either way for me. I don't know if I feel like it's more likely there'll be a BlizzCon now that Microsoft is going to be buying everything, or if it's less likely. Because I kind of felt like with the way things were going, we were already kind of on track for never having BlizzCon again.
I'm hopeful because I think the Microsoft change is just like a net positive. I'm hoping. I agreed with your take last week very much because things were so bad before. Like the change is fantastic, but it's just like a chance at least. But I think Microsoft does a good job of like taking care of the community with their games. So I think there's a good chance we'll like get it back, at least, knock on wood.
I hope so. I'm getting this feeling that like I did with HTC is like, I wish I knew it was the last one. I would have gone to every damn game. Like, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll catch the finals. I'm going to go over here and check this out. Like, I wish it was the last one. So like we could have sent it off in style and,
it would have been nice to know.
Taking it in. Same thing with BlizzCon. Like if 2019 ends up being the last BlizzCon, I'm going to be like, oh man, that's a shame. I wish I would have known. So I could have, you know,
I watched it on a phone. Like that's how low commitment I was to the last BlizzCon.
You
I
just had a kid, man.
Yeah. Like, and I was moving apartments that weekend, but you know, I would have like plugged in a screen or something if I had known.
I was so on the fence in 2018. I was like, oh, I have a lot of work. Maybe I'll go to the thing. I ended up not going. The worst.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, so yeah, I bet you also wish you knew it was the final HTC.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Microsoft thing's interesting. Yeah, I stand by that. I think it's a good thing. I think they're running their games division really well over there. So I'm
Halo's doing really cool stuff with their esports now. So
they I feel are. Like
yeah, it looks pretty promising.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's like a lot of critiques of their like their battle pass system in Halo itself, but at least the core gameplay is like solid as hell.
Yeah,
like they made a good game, and now they just need to get their like in-game economy sorted. Which, like to me, at this point in the kind of modern world we're living in of early access everything, I'm like, that's fine. They'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah,
like at least
hopefully they get the kinks worked out.
Yeah, yeah. At least the core game is of quality. But yeah, it's such a big unknown. It's the kind of thing I'm looking at. Like, hey, Microsoft, you don't have a MOBA, you're about to have a MOBA.
True. Like there's not that many, it's really just what, like four good MOBAs left. I don't want to offend any of the smaller MOBAs, but like four, like got your League, got your Dota, you got your Smite, you got your HOTS. So like if Microsoft really pumped something into that, maybe.
Yeah. You got your console stuff too. That's really taken off, like your Pokemon Unite.
That's true. That's a really good one.
And I think someone in chat room earlier was even like, oh, they should make HOTS for console. And it's like, part of my brain's like, well, that's so weird because all I do is play it on a computer. But I remember thinking the locked camera was really strange. The very first time I ever played Heroes of the Storm, it's like, well, just lock that camera and map movement to joysticks, and you got yourself a console MOBA.
Right, it can be done. Clearly, Star Wars just announced a new mobile game as well. That's maybe a little more like Fortnite. It's definitely more of a battle arena though, shooter, third person, and. These games are being made for phones.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's taken off, right? Is like mobile specific MOBAs. You've got League of Legends with Wild Rift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another one that's big. Is it Arena of Valor, maybe? Something like that?
I think you're right. I think that's correct.
I've never played it, but people talk about it and I just hear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting to watch that. Like, and it came like right after Auto Chess. I was like, oh, Auto Chess, that's how we're gonna like get League of Legends onto a phone. No, never mind. They actually have like real League of Legends as well, and so it's just all kind of popping off.
We have like lots of models for it, so if it works, like maybe Microsoft. I always thought like the gameplay in HOTS like was fantastic, like such a fun MOBA to play, and like it just needed the right like marketing spin or like the right like ideas behind it to like give it that broader appeal. So maybe it's a,
So I think we talked about this last week, right, Kyle, that we're kind of like, we just think under Microsoft things, every release isn't going to need to be a $1 billion game, that they can have,
right,
you know, middle tier performers, that it's absolutely what they were going for in the first place. Cause we see tons of games that come out in that kind of, you know, I don't want to call it like a B game, but like that middle tier, it's not this ridiculous money printer, but it's still a profitable product.
Right. Age of Empires is such a great example of that. It has a dedicated audience, but it's not huge and you're not going to get the kids playing it kind of thing. Which also this week, there was the Bungie purchase by Sony. So all the companies seem to be maneuvering around for the new year. It's easy as like civilians to be like, oh, new year, new you, huh, Sony? That's been in the works for 2 years, probably.
Yeah, after Microsoft, it sounds like it's easy to look at that and go, oh, Sony was like, oh, quick, who can we buy? But yeah, I'm sure it was a much longer tail on all of the work that went into that acquisition. And there was that big Tencent investment for a new IP at Bungie. So they've got something in the wings already, like pre the Sony deal.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think about the angle that Bungie's spread between Tencent and Sony. So who knows if Tencent owns a part of Sony these days?
Well, Tencent owns like a part of everything these days. Yeah. But yeah, like investing to build something is different than it's quite different, in my understanding, from what just happened with Sony acquiring Bungie.
Okay, so Sony and Tencent are actually allied in making cloud gaming interactives, but also Tencent is often your port to get into China gaming, and you use them as your basically server provider in a sense.
Yeah, and they're quite interested in mobile as well, so it makes me think whatever the next thing from Bungie is going to be, it's probably going to have a mobile, I'm not saying it's a mobile game, but it might have a mobile version of it. So it's all these, so many moves being made. A lot of things going down. But, well, we're as we're winding down here, Chilrog, want to give you another chance to, you know, let everybody know where they can, you know, if they want to attend in person, where they can go, if they want to watch online, where they can park themselves on Twitch. If you want to sit down and you want to watch the Miami Land this weekend, Defrost Miami Land, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, Defrost Miami. Where can everyone find that?
Yeah, so it's going to be at twitch.tv/chilimountain, C-H-I-L-L-Y mountain, not like chili pepper. What else? So if you want to go and attend, there are still a few observer tickets left. You can go and hang out if you're in the Miami area. It's at NLG Sports in Miami. And if you want more info on it, there's a site you can go, smash.gg/Miami Defrost. And that's kind of got like all the details, like all the like meetup spots and like what we're going to do or like the schedule and like all those like little details.
Hell yeah. Well, everybody
The stream will go live at noon Eastern.
That's awesome. Well, definitely everyone go out there, support this. Chilrog, thanks for putting in the work and getting a Heroes of the Storm Land together in the year 2022. It's just awesome.
Yeah, of course. Hopefully we'll have more. Hopefully this will be first of many LAN events.
That's great. Well, we want to thank our patrons supporting Into the Nexus over at patreon.com/ITN. Justin Allman, you're our latest patron. Thank you so much for signing up over there and supporting us. Also, huge thanks to our producers, Declan H., Sean B., and Mike R. If you want to support this program, patreon.com/ITN is the best way to do so. And it's always exciting seeing new patrons, especially after the holidays. It's usually when some patrons decide to, you know, take a break for a while. So thanks for signing up, everybody. Really appreciate it. Typically, we are live Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Twitch.tv has been an issue for us lately. Not sure why. So still go to twitch.tv/amovetv. You know, see if we're live there. Don't know what's going on, but the last 2 weeks, we have been streaming over at youtube.com/amove2 because there's no issues whatsoever. It goes off without a hitch every single time. It just works. Don't know what it is about Twitch on Thursdays. If anyone has ever had drop frames only on one day of the week, please let me know how you fixed it. That's going to do it for this episode. Kyle, before we go, where can folks find your other work?
You can find everything I do over at kyleferguson.com. If you'd like an early preview of my thoughts on the patch, you can head on over to youtube.com/kyleferguson. I put up a 60-minute video there about those thoughts. But of course, continue to check out our Final Fantasy 14 coverage over at Grinding Gear on YouTube.
Yeah, you can find that at youtube.com/amovetv. Brand new video this week as Kyle and I work through Heaven's Ward for the first time ever. we make some predictions too. So if you're already playing Final Fantasy and you're like, well, I played through it. No, you should watch because we're probably horribly wrong and you're going to get a good laugh out of it. So, Chilrog, you already, you promoted the land, but where can folks find you personally if they want to check you out?
At Chilrog everywhere. TikTok, surprisingly enough, is the main place I make the most content. And I couldn't get Chilrog there. I'm Chilrog 2 on TikTok, sad face.
Awesome. I'm going to get some TikTok tips from you. I've been wanting to spend a little more time experimenting over there. Well,
yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks for joining us again, everybody. Defrost Miami this weekend. Go watch, go in person, go support. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Into the Nexus. Until next time, everybody, good luck and have fun.
Take care.
Catch you later.